Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
In the last several episodes, we have been looking at Proverbs chapter 2, which is a long poem about the value and benefits of wisdom. It began with Solomon, as a father, telling his son to make his ear attentive to wisdom and to direct his heart to discernment. And that if his son would seek and search for wisdom as precious metal or hidden treasure, that he will come to understand the fear of Yahweh, who alone is the one who bestows wisdom. And if his son would let wisdom come into and reside in his heart, then he would receive the protection and safety that wisdom can provide. And so, now we come to the final section of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 20 to 22 says, "Therefore, you are to walk on the road of good people, and you are to keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." After a heartfelt appeal for his son to seek wisdom, followed by a long description of wisdom with its benefits and great value for the person who will receive her and listen to her, Solomon now offers a final exhortation. "Therefore, you are to walk on the road of good people," he says, "and you are to keep to the paths of the righteous." Walking on the road of good people and keeping to the paths of the righteous are parallel phrases where Solomon exhorts his son to choose a certain road or path in life, which is defined as being the one that good people and the righteous walk on. The metaphor of the road of good people is a way to characterize the road as one that contains moral excellence and all godly virtue, which is exhibited by how good people walk, that is, in their manner of conduct and behavior. In the Old Testament, the idea of good and goodness is a category that deals with morality and godliness. To be a good person meant that you lived according to Yahweh's purposes and design of life, and didn't deviate from what He has instructed for how human beings are to live, reflecting His glory and goodness in all that they do. Moreover, this road is also referred to as the paths of the righteous. The paths that the righteous walk are ones that demonstrate faithfulness to God's covenant and obedience to His commandments. They do what is right and honoring in the eyes of Yahweh, displaying character and conduct that maintains loyalty and covenant relationship with Him. The righteous live according to wisdom and recognize Yahweh as the source of all true knowledge and understanding. Another aspect of the exhortation deals with the fact that the son will not be traveling on the road of wisdom alone. He will join with other good people who are also walking down this path. I think that this aspect of the exhortation is particularly important to take note of because oftentimes in our lives, we might feel like we are the only ones who are trying to do what is right. Therefore, I think that this is a very significant component of the exhortation that can offer comfort and encouragement. In choosing to listen to and follow wisdom, we can find strength by seeing ourselves on that road with other good people who also recognize the value and importance of living with wisdom. Next, in verse 21, it gives us the reason for the exhortation. It substantiates why the son should embrace wisdom. The son should walk on the road of good people and keep to the paths of the righteous, for, or because, the upright will live in the land, verse 21 says, and the blameless will remain in it. Just like in verse 20, these two phrases are an example of synonymous parallelism and are basically stating the same reality in two different ways. To be an upright person also means to be a blameless person. And likewise, to live in the land means the same thing as to remain in it. However, the motivation of being able to live in the land may not be as powerful or strike our modern sensibilities in the same way that it likely did an ancient Israelite living in the land of Canaan. This is because for the ancient Israelites, the land was intimately tied to their identity. The land of Canaan was the land that God promised to Abraham and his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob, who is the father of all the tribes of Israel. When the children of Israel finally entered into the promised land of Canaan, after wandering in the desert for 40 years, it was a climactic and momentous occasion in their history as God's chosen people. God had rescued them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them into this wonderful land and promised to bless them, protect them, and prosper them. The land essentially signified the children of Israel's national and religious identity as God's people. Obtaining the land of Canaan served as one of the premier aspects of their society and heritage, as the land was given to them along with a covenant agreement with Yahweh as their God. Through the covenant, Yahweh agreed to show his kindness and goodness to them in exchange for their loyalty and faithfulness to his law. And so the land represented the Israelites' privileged status as God's people and the security and safety that he vowed to provide them if they would live according to his commandments. Now, the notion that the land refers to the land of Canaan is a common theme found in many other places in the Old Testament. But here in the book of Proverbs, as part of the Old Testament wisdom literature, that particular identification is not explicitly made. As such, it is more likely that the phrase to live in the land is simply a metonymy that refers to being alive. It is simply another way of saying to have life, since if you live in the land, then you are, in fact, living, as opposed to being dead. Seeing the meaning of the land in this way accords well with one of the primary themes in the book of Proverbs, choosing life or death. But there is another dimension in this proverb that we should be aware of. The idea that the upright will live and remain in the land has a future orientation to it as well. In the Old Testament, the land of Canaan forms a type or pattern that points to God's future kingdom established on a restored earth in the new creation. Thus, to live in the land, then, can secondarily also refer to having life in the age to come, that is, being part of God's kingdom. Well, most of the book of Proverbs describes physical and tangible effects of living with wisdom, such as safety, security, success, wealth, honor, etc., there are nonetheless strong overtones that point toward the future benefit that wisdom will provide. Those who live wicked and foolish lives are on a road that leads to death, both in the present and also in the future, forever, eternal destruction. But those who live righteously and with wisdom are on a road that leads to life, both now and also in the future, forever, eternal life. Well, as we come to verse 22, the last verse in this section, we see the other half of the reason for following wisdom. Unlike the upright who will live in the land, verse 22 says, "But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." To be cut off and uprooted from the land sounds a lot like the covenant curses that Moses mentions at the end of Deuteronomy. As Moses leads the people of Israel to renew their covenant with God before entering into the land of Canaan, he offers this warning. "If you refuse to obey all the words of this law, the things written in this scroll, and refuse to fear this glorious and awesome name, Yahweh your God, then Yahweh will increase your punishments and those of your descendants, great and long-lasting afflictions and severe enduring illnesses. This is what will happen, just as Yahweh delighted to do good for you and make you numerous, so he will also take delight in destroying and decimating you. you will be uprooted from the land you are about to possess. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 and 59 and 63. It might be that the proverb is drawing upon the imagery and language of Deuteronomy and the covenant curses, which are the consequences for not listening to and obeying Yahweh. Nevertheless, neglecting to live with wisdom also carries severe consequences, but they are never directly tied to the covenant curses that Yahweh promised to bring upon Israel if they failed to remain faithful to his covenant. As mentioned previously, the focus of the book of Proverbs is mostly on the personal effects of one's choices. If you choose wisdom, then you will live the good life and achieve happiness and exemplify how Yahweh intended life to be lived under his rule. But if you choose foolishness, then life will be filled with heartache, pain, and suffering, and your life will probably end miserably, being estranged from Yahweh God and reaping the consequences of the choices that you have made. In order to illustrate this final section of Proverbs chapter 2, I want to use a real-life scenario that exists between landlords and tenants. Now, I know that there are all kinds of circumstances that arise between landlords and tenants, and there are plenty of stories that can be shared on both sides of that relationship, both positive and negative. But what I am most interested in is discussing the expectation that exists in the agreement that is made between landlords and tenants. In order to do that, I would like to tell you about Sheila Fields. Fields is a landlord of 4 apartments in Buffalo, New York. One of them is a duplex on Manhattan Avenue in the Central Park neighborhood. In April of 2020, she began renting one unit to a young woman. However, only a month or two after moving in, the young woman refused to continue paying rent. The young woman argued with Fields about not needing to pay rent and cited the New York moratorium during COVID that sanctioned tenants and prevented them from being evicted, even if they were unable to pay rent. But it was apparent to Fields that there was more to this story than a young woman who has landed on financial hardship due to the economic effect of the pandemic. Fields knew that the young woman was a healthcare aide, and she even worked for the family that provided healthcare to Fields' mother. Fields documented the young woman leaving for work every morning with her uniform on, and therefore, Fields suspected that the woman was deceiving her and fraudulently using the COVID moratorium to her advantage in order to cheat Fields out of the rent money that was rightfully owed to her. Furthermore, one time when Fields' daughter went to perform maintenance in the apartment of the young woman, the woman attacked her. And another time when the woman's brother came, he barged right into Fields' apartment and began to attack and harass her. In response to this, Fields filed police reports and got a restraining order against the woman and her family. But even after all of that, Fields was not able to evict the woman since she couldn't file for an eviction with the city court as they were backlogged and overrun with cases from the temporary shutdown during the pandemic. That left Fields in a tough predicament. She was not receiving any rent from the young woman, who had demonstrated that she was a dangerous and undesirable tenant, but she could not legally remove the young woman from her property either. In the end, after 5 months of Fields experiencing this abuse and deception by the woman moved out, leaving Fields deeply wounded financially and in utter distress and emotional trauma over the ordeal, and not knowing what else she could have done to protect herself from being taken advantage of in this way, with no recourse or punitive measures to take against the deceitful and violent tenant. So, by now, you might be wondering what this story has to do with the proverb that we've been looking at. Well, the connection is that the circumstances surrounding being allowed to live in the land, both in the present day, but also in God's future kingdom, are completely unlike the circumstances that Fields found herself in. where she was unable to impose any consequences upon her tenant for the vile and unjust ways that her tenant treated her. The point of the proverb is that the wicked will be cut off from living in the land, and those who act unfaithfully will be uprooted from it. Unlike the young woman who acted wickedly toward fields, but was allowed to stay in her apartment and enjoy the benefit of that residence for such a long time, the proverb describes reality not working that way, especially in reference to God's future kingdom. Treating other people harshly and with such evil will not go unpunished. Yahweh will not allow wicked and unfaithful tenants to remain in his land. They will certainly be evicted and cut off from it. Yahweh is a God of mercy, but also a God of justice. What this proverb depicts is God's justice. As probably everyone will agree, we don't see it perfectly playing out in our present day and time. But a day is coming when God's justice will take full effect, and the wicked will have no excuse and no power to avoid the consequences of their choices. For now, we are to look to Yahweh to give us strength to endure through wrongdoing that is done to us, knowing that He will one day make everything right. To conclude, not only is wisdom able to protect us and guard us against evil, it also is the means by which we can live upright and blameless before Yahweh our God, knowing that if we walk on the road of good people and keep to the paths of the upright, we will be blessed as we continue to live in the land, both now and in His coming kingdom. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.